Today on Real Radio.
I tried really hard, but I missed the mark. At least I was sincere. I mean, should that count for something? Well, the answer is no, but that's a nice try. You're a sinner. What's a transgressor? Whew. How many of you have teenagers? Raise your hands.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. In the verses we're looking at, the Messiah gives his followers seemingly mundane instructions for when they go out to evangelize. The passage provides a valuable lesson in being dependent and trusting in our Maker. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days.
He does what he's promised. The God of the universe does what he promises. Abraham knew that. Noah knew that. Jeremiah knew that. Isaiah knew that. Did not Daniel know that? God is faithful. Didn't Saul of Tarsus or Paul the apostle know that? He knew that. He promises, and he does what he promises. Note verse 37. This is radical, you guys. If you're in seminary right now, if you're in Bible college, man, you'd have your pen out, and this would be a big deal. We'd spend all month, you know that, on these few words. Jesus said, verse 37, "For I say to you," you can put an exclamation point behind "you." It is a New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament, "thus saith the Lord." Wow. Jesus says, "For I say to you, that which is written must still be accomplished in me." And here it is. Notice what he does. Quote, "And he was numbered with the transgressors," close quote. "For the things concerning me have an end." Number one, he has identified himself with us. This blows my mind. It blows my mind. Incredible. That God would announce in the Word of God, by the way, from Genesis to Revelation, Old and New Testament, that he would be the Savior of mankind. Friends, I can pull verses out of Isaiah. I can pull verses out of Psalms where God says, Jeremiah, where God, Habakkuk, where God says, I'll tell you who the just are. The just will be those who live by faith. He goes on and on to announce the fact that he alone is Savior. His very name means Savior. And so I quoted this last week, but I want you to see it up on the screens this morning. It's been wisely stated, that which is in the old concealed is in the new revealed. Now, you might be saying today, well, I don't read the Old Testament. Well, you know what? You're missing out on a lot. Or you might be here today and saying, well, I don't read the New Testament. Well, you're missing out on a lot. Guess what? God has written the old and the new. And if you take the time to read both, you're going to be shocked, pleasantly so, because they dovetail completely, beautifully together. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, "Whatever things were written before time were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures," the Old Testament, "might have hope." Now, everybody grab your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah. Turn to the book of Isaiah. Nobody's exempt. You got to turn there because we're going to be there for the rest of the day. Yeah, you're not going home. Turn there. If you don't know where the book of Isaiah is, it's very easy. Close your Bible, completely shut. Go right to the middle and open it up. And you'll probably open up to Isaiah. And if you opened up to the book of Psalms, then scoot just a little bit over to the right and you'll be there. Okay, you there? That's good stuff. Watch this. What is, oh yeah, thanks. That's right. Isaiah 53. I've been doing this all day. I thought you would have known by now. Isaiah 53. As you turn there, that's a beautiful sound, by the way, the sound of those pages turning. This is written, by the way, don't miss it, 743 years before Jesus was born. It's a prophecy that's about, well, a little over 2,700 years old. And you're looking at it right now. By the way, ancient manuscripts back that up completely. That's the fun part of my job. You don't have to believe a word I say. I really love that part. Go look and see for yourself. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning at verse 1. Listen carefully, and you'll see why when we come to the end of, this area of reading, why Jesus gave them that line, that code, if you would. Isaiah 53, "Who has believed our report?" the prophet says. "And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For, now watch how personal it gets. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground." So let's be good CSI. Okay? Who's being talked about here? Who? We just keep asking the question, who's he? Who grows up before who? And who's going to come out of the ground like a plant? "He has no form or comeliness." That simply means that he has no profound attraction. "And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him." Translation, whoever's being talked about looks very common. Looks like one of us. Excuse me. Isaiah. Was Isaiah Polish? Was he Cuban? Or was he Hebrew? He's a Hebrew. Isaiah, the great prophet. He'll be one common, whoever we're talking about, he'll be one common among us. That's interesting. Verse 3, "He's despised and rejected by men." Despised, hated beyond hatred. Rejected, cast away. Throw him off. By who? By men. "A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid." We who? Isaiah, who are you talking about? "We hid, as it were, our faces from him. We were ashamed of him. We mocked him. We ridiculed him. We rejected him. We turned our faces away. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." Verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs." What? "And he has carried our sorrows." Who? "Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Let me remind you, 743 years before Jesus was born. "But he was wounded for our transgressions." Don't say any word right now. Just think. Who in the world has got a Bible written about them who was wounded for our transgressions? "He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." You know what? Peter quoted that verse right there regarding our lives being healed from not only physical ailments, but from sin. Peter quoted that. Verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned everyone to our own way," or his own way. "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Think, who could this be? "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, but as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Hey, the Roman government wrote that about Jesus when he stood before Herod and Pilate. He never defended himself. If anybody had a right to defend himself, it was Jesus. And he didn't. And he wouldn't, because of his love for you and I. He said nothing to the accusations that were brought against him. Verse 8, it says, "He was taken from prison." That's interesting. In a few hours from our reading, Jesus is going to be carted off to prison, isn't he? In fact, according to Roman law, the night trials that happened in Jerusalem that night were illegal. Did you know that? Those things are called kangaroo courts, an illegal trial. "He was taken from prison and from judgment to the praetorium floor where the king's game was played." It's etched in the stone. It is the very ground of the Praetorian Guard. The men who were there dealing with Jesus were housed in that room, and you're going to be there. And etched in the floor is the king's game. He was taken from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. Cut off. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. In your Old Testament, the Bible says that the Messiah will come to the nation of Israel, but right in the middle of it all, he will be cut off, but not for himself, but for the people. Cut off. The word in Hebrew, karat, is a word that means that he was to suffer the punishment of a capital offense. That whoever this is, Daniel chapter 9, Isaiah 53, Jesus is talking about it by quoting verse 12 of this chapter 53, that whoever we're talking about is going to be one that is going to die for a capital offense that he himself didn't commit, and he doesn't defend himself. And it's written in Scripture on top of it. It's awesome. Who is this? Who can this possibly be? And so, it says, and he made his grave, verse 9, with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Notice this, everyone, look carefully. But with the rich at his death. Jesus was taken down from the cross by two guys, two Jewish men. You remember them? Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. Do you remember? One man was the religious leader of Israel at the time. The other guy was Jerusalem's rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. He was laid in a nearby tomb. It was a family tomb owned by Joseph of Arimathea, says the Bible. And the Bible says here that he was, listen, buried with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit found in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. When he has put him to grief, when you make his soul an offering for sin. Are you kidding me? All of a sudden now, please listen. All of a sudden now, I start to see why this is the Holy of Holies regarding the gospel in the Old Testament. Who in this world would be sent to suffer, to lay down his life and not defend himself, to be put to death for the offering for the sins of others? I thought up until then animals did that for us. Didn't they sacrifice a lamb at the temple? Absolutely. Didn't the priest take the blood and place it upon the head of the sacrifice? Yep, absolutely. What in the world is going on in my Old Testament here? Verse 10 goes on, and when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. God will be satisfied at the laboring of the soul of whoever this is. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was, hang on to your seats, Jesus quotes, what? He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Number one, he was numbered with the transgressors. Number two, he bore the sins of the transgressors. Number three, he makes intercession for the transgressors. Listen, do you know what it means to sin? I mean, I know you and I know how to sin. We're pretty good at it. But do you know what it means to sin? You might be surprised. It's an Olympic term from the first century Olympics from Greece. It means that you take your arrow out of your quill and you would draw it back at the command of the judge and you would release it and it would go flying across the sky towards the target and the judge would be near the target, not too close, and the arrow would finish its course, and if you missed the target, the judge would yell back to the Olympic contestant, "Sinner!" And he would try again. He missed again, second time. "Sinner!" He would try 10 times. Sinner, sinner, sinner. Look, the guy didn't freak out. He didn't get all offensive. He didn't call the ACLU. He didn't suck his thumb and go lay in the corner. He could handle it. The judge called him a sinner because the word means to miss the mark. That's all it means. It means that you are not perfect. If you would have hit the mark, you would have been perfect. But you missed the mark. The Bible says, again, the book of Isaiah. I'm not picking on the book of Isaiah today, but that's just popping up in my head. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul quotes it again to the Romans. Our righteousness, Isaiah said, the best attempts that we do to impress God. And don't look it up in the original language, it'll make you sick to your stomach. Isaiah said, it's as filthy rags. Wow. What's going on here? To sin is to miss the mark. Look, I'm a Christian. I read my Bible from cover to cover. I figured this out. Sin, the Bible says Jesus died to save us from our sins. Okay. I tried really hard, but I missed the mark. At least I was sincere. I mean, should that count for something? Well, the answer is no, but that's a nice try. You're a sinner. What's a transgressor? Who? How many of you have teenagers? Raise your hands. How many of you ever had a teenager? Raise your hand. A lot more hands are like, yeah. They go, the hands went like this. Oh, yeah. How many of you got like a five-year-old? Oh, yeah. Okay, listen, there's the Adamic nature in these guys. And here's the deal. To transgress is to be going along, and you're like, whoops, I crossed that line. What do I do? Well, you already crossed the line. You ever walked in cement you weren't supposed to step in? It's messed up. Go ahead and try to fix it. They can tell. You sinned. You crossed the line. Oh my gosh. You know what a transgressor is? Transgressor is like your little four-year-old. When you say, Susie, I don't want you to cross that line. She was having a fine day until you told her, don't cross that line. What line, Daddy? Right here. Don't go across over there. Daddy's going to work over here right now. Mommy's at camp. Don't cross the line because I got to watch out for you, okay? This line, Daddy? Yeah, look. There's three other lines all around this yard. Don't cross this line. Just this one. You got three to, you can go run all over those other lines. Don't cross this line. Okay, honey? You mean this line here? Huh? Right? You ever had a little kid? And you don't want me to cross this line. Huh? Right here? You know what's going on, you guys? It's a massive, amazing battle of authority. What that little kid is saying is, I know you're 225 and 6'3", but I'm 27 pounds, and when I walk, I sound like plastic moving. And I can poop in my pants still anytime I want. And I'm telling you right now, you're not man enough to enforce that rule you just laid right there. Because you tell your little kid no, and they go just like this. You ever seen them do that? Raising kids is awesome. You see yourself, you look like that, and you have to bite your lip because you want to laugh. But you know if you're going to raise a citizen in the world, that you've got to do this right. God told Adam and Eve, you go have a ball. Mess around, have a great time. You guys can do anything. Play with the animals, swim, have sex outside. You can do anything you want. What are you laughing about? Where else did they have sex? Are you guys crazy or what? But don't touch the fruit of that tree. What, this one? You mean this one right here? Isn't that amazing? Is that not in us? That's called transgression. Oh yeah? What are you gonna do about it? The Bible says, book of Isaiah, that the Messiah, we're going to see this is the Messiah. Not only is the promised Messiah to deliver Israel and the world from political shenanigans, but the Messiah has to deliver the world from its bondage to sin, even transgression. There's nobody in this room today that has sinned so far that God cannot rescue you today. you have not gone that far. You think you have. You have not. Because, my friend, my Bible says, book of Isaiah, that he, verse 12, will sacrifice someone. Someone will be sacrificed righteous enough to be the sacrifice that appeases the judgment of God, satisfies the Lord, and winds up being the salvation of mankind. Whoever he is, he's hated in the world. Isn't that weird? And because he's hated in the world, his people are hated in the world, I might add. Isn't it amazing? It's spiritual. It's a spiritual issue. Jesus quotes the verse. You can't get away from it. This is archaeological fact. There are 13,000 manuscripts backing up this declaration of statement. 600 documents of Homer. 13,500 of Jesus making this statement. He's numbered with the transgressors. The word numbered in Hebrew means that he's accounted in the class of, not the class of 63, the class of losers. You'll find me among the outcasts, the losers, the discarded, the broken, the people nobody wants. That's where you'll find me. Whoever this is in Isaiah 53, you'll find him numbered with the transgressors. This is awesome. How could holy God meet unholy man? I'll tell you, mark it down. I'll just quote it. You write it down. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God among us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, behold, a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the increase of the nations and their governments shall be upon his shoulders. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the prophet Micah announced that he will come forth eternal, never having a beginning nor an end. Out of Bethlehem of Judea, he shall be born or come forth. Who in the world, pray tell, has a rumor going on about them who was born in Bethlehem, whose rumor is that he was born of a woman and not having a man's intervention, rumor, and because of that, he's been blasphemed, and he's eternal, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem, mocked and ridiculed and rejected. By the way, his name is the chief cuss word in the entire world to this hour. When people want to cuss, they'll use his name. I have never seen somebody pick up a hammer and whack their hand with it and say, Mohammed, that hurt.
Yes, of course. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days. It's actually a mini-series taken from part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse through this eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, being in this chapter means that we're somewhat nearing the end of this New Testament narrative, with just two more chapters to go. If you've just recently made Real Radio part of your daily routine, you may be interested in our featured resource, this entire series through the book of Luke on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. It's comprised of 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack, and really, to learn the importance of internalizing this first century historical narrative, go to realradioactive.org and click where it says simply, The Gospel of Luke, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.